This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
John chapter 14. I love that song and I love the encouraging message of it. And that's what I want to do tonight, is be an encouragement to you. I'm not going to be very long. Is anybody opposed to that? I didn't think so. We'll be short tonight, but I just want to encourage you a little bit, and I'm going to preach on that thought, fear not tomorrow. We'll be in John chapter 14, and we're going to read some very familiar words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples. John chapter 14, we will read verse 1 through verse 3. Starting in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for these encouraging words in the Bible, words we can lean on. Lord, I pray that you help us to get something out of these words tonight, to learn something and to use them throughout our week and the rest of our life to do away with fear and worry. Lord, we're expecting you to help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Worry seems to be a part of everyday life. And most of the time, it's needless. All the time it's needless, I should rather say. Let me give you a little background as to what has happened leading up to the Lord's words here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus and his disciples had just taken Passover, the Last Supper before he was going to leave them. And it was at this time that Jesus tells his disciples that one of them was going to betray him. And not only would one of his disciples betray him, he goes on to say that one of them was going to deny him three times. Not only that, but his days with them were numbered. They weren't going to be together much longer. He was going to suffer much persecution. These men had given up their careers to be his disciples. And one of them was going to betray him. And one of them was going to deny him. And it was about to all come to an end. They were about to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, which was going to be a dark time for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would tell Peter that the devil wanted to sift him like wheat. These were dark times for the disciples. They were troubling times. And I think that we could all agree that the day and age in which we live is a dark time. It's troubling times. Sin is rampant. It's accepted. Christianity is scorned. Christians are being persecuted. It's a time where our freedom of religion is being taken away. Not only that, but it's a time where Christianity itself is overrun with hypocrisy. And we're seeing it in our churches in this day and age. It's a dark time. It's a time where we could be worried. But I believe if the Lord was here, he would say, let not your hearts be troubled. How many of you would have to say, I admit that I've worried. I admit that I've had some fears and I've had anxiety, not over just the shape that the world's in, but even just my own little personal life, I worry on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's pretty normal for all of us. But Jesus is telling us here, let not your hearts be troubled. He was speaking to them, but it's applicable to us. Let not your heart be troubled. Just as in this passage, things in our day and age look bad. Pastor's been preaching about the end times a lot and digging into that and telling us about it, and it's kind of scary. And we're uncertain about a lot of it, and it scares some of us. We worry about it, we fear it, but we don't have to. John chapter 14, let me read it one more time, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I want to look at these three verses, and I want to kind of go line by line and bring out a few things that I've learned as I've studied that helped me, and I want to be an encouragement to you this evening. First of all, I see there are fears to escape, or there are fears to be expected. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. To understand what brought about these words from the Lord, you have to understand the disciples' reaction to what he had just told them. He explained everything that was going to happen. They were taken back by this. If you go back into chapter 13 and read some of Peter's reactions, it bothered him, it worried him, and that's why the Lord used these words. He had just dropped the bombshell on them. They were shocked. They were devastated by the Lord's words in chapter 14 or chapter 13. That is why we have chapter 14. And we need to realize in this life that trials and tribulations are going to come. Tests are going to come. They're to be expected. He never said that it was going to be easy or that it was going to be a perfect road or that the road was never going to have bumps in it. John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Job 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." There's going to be trouble. There's going to be worries. There's going to be anxieties. There's going to be problems you're going to face. They're part of our human existence. The song says, "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. The hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He did say help would always come in time." And the simple truth is, it's not always going to be easy. A lot of people get saved and they think that once they get saved, all the problems are done. They're never going to have another problem. They're never going to have another hard time. And then when the hard times come and the problems come and the tests come, they say, "What is this? I didn't expect all this. It was supposed to be easy." But it's not going to be. There are going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But we can have peace. And I want to look at one word. Notice the first word in the first verse. He says, "Let." "Let not your hearts be troubled." You know what this is? This is a call for you and I to be involved in the troublesome times in our life. If you go back to grade school and remember what your English teacher taught you, he would have taught you, or she would have taught you, that you would put an understood "you" there. You let not your hearts be troubled. You take action and let not your hearts be troubled. Out of all the Lord's commandments, this may be the one some of us have the most problem with, or even it's probably the most overlooked. Let not your hearts be troubled. We are not supposed to sit idle while our lives are ruined with worry and fear right in front of our very own eyes. There is a course of action for us to take in the time of trouble. And all these fears start to come upon us, and this worry, and we look at all our problems, and we feel like we're supposed to just sit there and moan and grope and expect the Lord to come save us. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me," that's action, "come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, "Casting all your care upon Him," that's action, "for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant." Psalms chapter 55, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord," that's action, "and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The devil is a roaring lion. Do we all agree about that? And he wants to destroy you. And he will destroy you with worry and fear. You get saved, and the devil understands he's lost you, but he doesn't quit there. He's saying, "Okay, I've lost him to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know what? I'm still going to pursue him. And if I can get him to worry and I can get him to fear, I can render him useless for the kingdom of God." He won't be able to achieve anything for Christ because he's so overcome with the worry and the fear and the anxiety. So even though he knows he's lost the war, he'll still try to win the little battles and render you useless to where you can't do anything for the Lord. Don't be idle when worry starts creeping in. Don't sit there. Don't be idle. He says, "Let," understood you, "you let not your hearts be troubled." You take action. And he explained to us how to take that action. Okay? So first of all, there are fears to escape, or there are fears and troubles and worries to be expected. This life's not going to be easy. The Christian life's not going to be easy. But you have to take some action. Secondly, there is a faith to embrace. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The word believe is a life-altering word. And you know that when you got saved. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to have confidence in. Literally, the word means to exercise faith in someone or something. Now, this verse speaks of two kinds of faith. First of all, there's sustaining faith. Ye believe in God, the first part of it. Ye believe in God. That is sustaining faith. This is the kind of faith that's going to get you through the valleys. This is the kind of faith you're going to have to overcome the worry and the fear and the anxiety. The kind of faith, this kind of faith believes that God exists and that He is in absolute control of all things. I preached a sermon on faith one time, and I got an illustration from Dr. Tony Evans. And I really, really liked it because it was applicable to me. I can understand it. We do construction. We do a lot of decks and sunrooms. And one of our best friends on decks and sunrooms is what we call QuikCrete. You've all seen it in Lowe's. And what you do is they say you just take the QuikCrete and add water, and that's it. What it is, it's a mortar base. And if you want a solid surface, you have to mix that mortar base with water. And you stir it up. You let it sit. You come back the next day and you have a solid surface you can build upon, a sturdy surface you can build upon. And if we as Christians would ever mix what God says with who He is, we would have a sturdy surface to build upon. We could stand when the trials and troubles come. If we would mix what He says with who He is. Does everybody understand that? He's promised that He'll never leave or forsake us. He's promised that He'll always be there beside of us. We're about to see some of that with His promises. He's promised to always be there. He's promised to take care of us. And then you mix that with who He is. Who is He? He's the Creator of the universe. He's the God of this world. He spoke all this into existence. Do you think if He could speak all this world into existence and everything we see, don't you think He has the ability to take care of your little problems? Don't you think He has the power and the ability to take care of you? You got to mix what He says with who He is in your mind and stir it up, and then you'll have a solid surface to defeat the fear with. This is a sustaining faith. First of all, I see faith in His promises. Romans chapter 4, verse 8, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And there's millions of promises in the Bible we could go and read. And has God ever broken a promise? No, He hasn't. He can't do it. Everything He says, He follows through with. And we can have faith in that. Faith in His promises. Secondly, I see faith in His power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Job 42, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I got to do a study on seeing Christ in nature. And I started studying some of the crazy, amazing facts about nature, and I focused on our galaxy and what's in the sky. And you start reading some of those numbers that these scientists have discovered, it will blow your mind. They have kind of put a number on how many stars are in the sky. And they had to make up a number, it was so big. The number they made up was 70 sextillion stars in the sky. That's a 7 with 22 zeros behind it. That's past million, that's past 100 million, that's past the billion, that's past 100, that's past all these different numbers. They had to make one up. That's how many stars are in the sky. And you know what? They keep finding more. The scientists said, there's probably more that are out there. We just haven't discovered them yet. We live in our galaxy, the Milky Way, and we have the moon and the sun and Jupiter and the Earth and all these different planets in that galaxy. They have discovered that there are more than 1 billion galaxies. And as I was doing that study, I was teaching it to a group of kids, and I gave them the number that I had studied and learned. It was some couple billion galaxies that they have found. And then literally the next day, I was reading the news, and they had just come out. Scientists have just discovered another couple million galaxies they didn't even know were there. This universe is so vast. We haven't even seen it all. And God spoke every bit of that into existence. And then we worry whether or not He's going to be able to provide that extra $100 we need to pay the mortgage this month. And we worry if He's going to be able to put food on our table this week. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? He holds all this power in His hand. And if you can ever get to the point where you mix what He says with who He is and what He has already done, you won't have to worry anymore. You won't have to fear. Your heart won't be troubled. His power. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40 real quick. And I want to read quite a few verses to you, but I want you to read them with me. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll start in verse 9. I thought about condensing it and reading less, but I want to read them all. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? He can measure the dust of the earth, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and with who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing. They are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto Him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be known, moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken Me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names. By the way, He has a name for every one of those stars. By the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and My judgment is passed over from My God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As the old preacher said in his sermon, there ain't nobody like Him. There's nobody like Jesus. He holds all power in His hands. And yet we worry. And yet we fear. And yet we face anxiety. So let the storms rage high. Let the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me. Why? Because I'm sheltered in the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. I believe the hymn writer had it figured out, didn't he? So not only his power, sustaining faith in his power, but sustaining faith in his presence. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's a promise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 through 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He said it twice. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As a child of God, I'm glad that I can put my faith in the fact that he is always with me. Even when I feel like he's not there, he's there. He never leaves me. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. So why should I worry, as the song says? Why should I fear when that very same Jesus we just talked about in Isaiah chapter 40, he's always so near. If you ever learn to trust God completely without reservation, then you have the very tool you need to loosen fear's grip on your life. When you come to the place where you believe his promises, you realize and put faith in the fact that he has all power, and you trust him to never leave you, then you'll be free from worry and fear. So it's a sustaining faith. You know what? It's also a saving faith. What did he say? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let me explain that. It isn't just enough to believe that there is a God. After all, the devils believe, do they not? They believe that there is a God, but they aren't saved. James chapter 2, verse 19, to be saved, a person must believe the gospel and accept Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 4. Let's read it real quick. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So not only do you have to believe in God, but there must be a belief in Jesus Christ the Son. There must be a belief in the Savior. What did we say the definition of believe was? To exercise faith in someone or something. It's a good thing to believe there is a God, and it's a good thing to believe that his son Jesus died on the cross, but if you never accept it, if you never exercise the faith in it, then you have a lot to be worried about. You have a lot to fear because you're not saved. You're lost. That's a saving faith. If you never exercise that faith and believe in his gift of salvation, his gift, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, then those promises we talked about means nothing to you. That power we talked about is not available to your life. Right? You want to be cured of a troubled heart? Believe also in me. Believe in the Son. Believe in Jesus Christ. Exercise faith in him. Accept him. Then those promises are yours. Then that power is yours. Then that presence is yours. So there are fears to escape or fears and troubles and worries to expect. They're going to come, but he's called you to action. You, understood you, let not your hearts be troubled. Take action when fear starts to creep in your life. Don't sit there and let it overcome you. There is a faith to embrace. And then lastly, there is a future to envision. Let me read the last two, verse 2 and 3 one more time. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This future to envision, it includes a precious place. In my Father's house are many mansions. We need to remember, as Christians, that we're not home yet. This is not our home. All these fears and all these worries and all the bad things and all the troubles, they get left here. They're temporary. We're going to our home one day. We're just passing through. And while the troubles and trials we face, they're part of our earthly existence, they can't follow us where we're headed. They can't go with us. They have to stay. And I'm thankful that the troubles and trials of this life are temporary at best. One day all the children of God are going to be called home. And there's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more wheelchairs. There's going to be no more cancer. There's going to be no more tears. There's going to be no more heartaches. Everything will be perfect. No troubles. Nothing to fear. Nothing to worry. Nothing but peace and joy in the presence of the Lord. So it includes a precious place, but it also includes a prepared place. This is my favorite part. It includes a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you. Just think about this world and all its wonder. You go to the Grand Canyon. You take a peek into what scientists have discovered in space and all the millions and millions of galaxies that are out there. Just think about all the planets in our galaxy. If there's billions of galaxies, how many more planets are there that we haven't even heard about or seen? And I wish I had the pictures tonight. If I could show you the biggest star in our universe and show you the sun, it dwarfs it. It's probably, in comparison, it's probably three of these church buildings to one little pin needle. That's how big that star is. That's the one that they've discovered. And there's more that they haven't even discovered. And if the Lord created all of that, imagine what He's created for you. Imagine the place that He has prepared for you, His children. Just think about all the glory it's going to be. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You can't even imagine it. Have you ever tried to imagine heaven? I know I have. It's hard to do sometimes. And He gives us little sneak peeks into what heaven's going to be like. Streets of gold. We think it's pretty awesome just to see a gold flake or maybe to hold a gold bar, if any of you have ever been able to do that. But imagine all the streets in a city being paved in the purest gold. Can you imagine that? It's hard to imagine. Imagine gates of pearl. Now, I've eaten some oysters, and I've seen some pearls that come out of oysters. That's a big oyster. To have a pearl so big, you can make a whole gate out of it. And it's got to be spectacular. A crystal clear river that has the best bass fishing known to man in it. All the things that God has told us about, and He said, you know what? I'll let you in on a little bit of it, but try to imagine it, and it's going to be so far beyond that. A prepared place for you and me. Every day, we live as children of God with the greatest promise the world has ever known. Not only is it a precious place, not only is it a prepared place, but there's a powerful promise. And what is it? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Every day, as children of God, we live with the greatest promise the world has ever known as our support. We have our Savior's promise that He's going to personally come back and get each and every one of us and take us to be with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up and together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." He said, comfort one another with these words. When fear and worry and troubles slip in, He says, remember this. There's a place created for you that's going to blow your mind. Think about that. I've given you the promise that I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you there. I'm going to take you there. Comfort one another with these words. This is our comfort. This is our solace. Why do we worry? Why do we fear when we know He's coming back to get us and He's taking us to a perfect place? Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Grace be with you was often a greeting or a benediction in Paul's letters, meaning peace with you. That's what it meant when he said that. But what a way to end. He's saying you can have peace in the midst of the troubles. You can have peace in the midst of the worry. If some of you worry, if some of you are troubled, if some of you fear, if you lay awake at night, the problems run through your mind, you don't have to worry. Let not your hearts be troubled. The troubles of this life are temporary at best. You know what I like to try to imagine sometimes? Have you ever imagined forever? Have you ever imagined eternity? Everything that we know in this life has an end, does it not? Life has an end. Everyone dies. You buy a vehicle, it may be awesome, but one day it's going to tear up. One day it's going to break down. You buy a house, after years of time, it's going to start to decay. Somebody's going to have to bulldoze it over. Everything has an end. But think about something that never has an end. Try to imagine it. It'll blow your mind. But we have the joy of knowing that all this trouble is temporary and that perfect place where we're going never ends. It never stops. It's forever and ever in a perfect place with a perfect Savior. I'm reminded of the illustration, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it paints a good picture. A pastor had been on a long flight from one place to another, and the first warning of approaching problems came when the sign on the airplane flashed, "Fasten your seatbelts." And you all know what that means, fasten your seatbelts. You're probably about to hit some turbulence. And eventually, the voice of the lady came over the intercom, and she said, "We're not going to be serving beverages at this time as we're expecting a little bit of turbulence." That's pretty normal. People expect that. So they put their seatbelts on, and they sat back. And as they looked around the aircraft, or as that pastor looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that many of the passengers were becoming worried, and fear was starting to etch across their faces. And later, the voice of the announcer said, "We're so sorry that we're unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." And then all of a sudden, the storm broke, and it started crashing. And you could hear the thunder above the roar of the engine, and you could see the lightning out of the plane windows, and the plane was like a cork, just tossed around. One moment, the airplane was lifted on currents of air, and the next moment, it was just dropping out. The pastor confessed that he was discomforted himself. He was worried himself. He had fear himself. And as he looked around the plane, he could see that nearly all the passengers were upset, were alarmed, and some of them had resorted to praying, "Lord, get us out of this." The future seemed bleak. Many of them were worrying if they were going to even make it through the storm. And then suddenly, the pastor's eyes came upon a little girl. And apparently, that storm meant absolutely nothing to her. She had her coloring crayons and she had her book out. And her seatbelt was fastened just like everybody else's, but she was coloring. And she wasn't really worried about anything. She had tucked her feet beneath her. She was coloring as best she could in the storm. She seemed so calm, so orderly, and like nothing was bothering her. Pastor even saw her eventually close her eyes, and then she would open them again, straighten her legs out. But worry and fear were not a part of her world at that moment. And so they finally made it through the storm. The plane landed. And everybody was departing the plane. The pastor raced up to the front, and he grabbed that little girl. He said, "I just got to ask you." He said, "That was a pretty rough storm, was it not?" She's like, "Yeah, it was pretty bad." He said, "Everybody in here was scared, but I noticed that you weren't scared one little bit." He said, "How come you had so much confidence?" He said, how come you weren't scared of that storm?" And she replied, "Because my daddy's the pilot, and he's taking me home." And if we could all get a hold of that, through this world we travel through, and all the fears, and all the bad times, and all the scariness, the fear of ISIS, the fear of persecution in our own world, even the little bitty troubles that we have in our own personal life, if we would understand the fact that our Father is the pilot, and He's taking us home. He's going to take us to a place where there is no more troubles, where there is no more bad things, no more bad. It's going to be all good. There are fears to be expected. You can expect some hard times. You can expect some rough roads. You can expect some turbulence, especially as a Christian. But the Lord calls you to action. Let not your hearts be troubled. You let not your hearts be troubled. How can we do that? By casting all our cares upon Him, by going to Him, by not waiting on Him to come around and take care of them all, by taking them to Him, saying, "Lord, I'm worried about this, but I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm asking you to help me with it." There are some fears to be expected. There is a faith to embrace, a sustaining faith, faith in His promises. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever lied? Has He ever failed to come through on one of His promises? He never has, and He never will. The Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. There's so many promises in the Bible that we could go through and read all of them. And he's never went bad on one single one of them. You have a sustaining faith in his power. He made all this. You think he can take care of you? You think he can take care of your little problems? And then you can have faith in his presence. He'll always be there beside you. And then there's a saving faith. Friend, if you're here tonight and you have never accepted his son, his gift, I urge you to do that before it's too late. And that'll take care of all the fear and all the worry and all the troubles in your life. And there is a future to envision. We're going home. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. We don't have to fear. We can do what he says and let not our hearts be troubled. I hope it encouraged you tonight, and I hope you got something out of it like I did. When fear starts to creep in, take action, because you don't have to fear and you don't have to worry. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for these encouraging words that you gave the disciples, but you meant for us to use them too years down the road. Lord, I pray that when fear starts to creep in, when worry starts to creep in, when we worry about our life and finances and health and family, or when we start to worry about government, and Lord, wars and rumors of wars, I pray that you'd help us to realize that we don't have to be troubled and we don't have to fear. Because as children of God, we're going home. You're taking us away from here. You're the pilot, and you're taking us home. And we can rest in that promise. So, Lord, for anybody that may have been dealing with worry and fear, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be able to kick it, to get over it, to take action against it. Lord, we're trusting you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.